On Friday, a major manufacturer of medical devices, the company's called Dupuy, announced the withdrawal from the market of one of their hip replacement or prosthesis systems called the ASR. It's a story not just for the thousands of Australians who've had one of these put in, it's more about how we in Australia regulate and monitor devices in general, from stents and pacemakers through to catheters, tubes and screws. Also, as you'll hear, that while the reason for the market withdrawal quoted in Dupuy's press release was adverse data from the British National Joint Registry, the company, in fact, had long been well aware of problems with this artificial hip from the Australian Orthopaedic Association's National Joint Replacement Registry. Yet the joint system stayed on the market, and our regulator, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, didn't pull the plug. The Australian Orthopaedic Association's National Joint Replacement Registry is a surgeon-controlled registry which records a very high percentage of hip and knee replacements done in Australia. The idea is to follow how they perform with the aim of trying to avoid unnecessary revisions. That means taking the old joint out and putting a second one in. Professor Stephen Graves is the registry's director. Stephen, how many of these devices have actually been put into Australians?
Well, it's been well over 5,000 now.
5,000. Were you surprised at this announcement?
No, I wasn't surprised at all.
Why?
Because the Australian Joint Registry has for a number of years identified that the ASR prosthesis had a higher rate of revision, both as a resurfacing device and also as a conventional hip replacement for a number of years.
Just describe the device. I mean, is this what they call the Birmingham procedure, or what is it?
No, what the ASR is basically is a metal acetabular cup, which is the socket part of a joint replacement, a hip replacement. And it's an all-metal cup, which has therefore a metal-bearing surface. Now, it can be used in two situations. One is the resurfacing situation, which is similar to the Birmingham that you've talked about.
I was just explaining here, this is where you try not to remove the thigh bone part, but in total you just put a new surface on the top of the ball of the socket, the ball bit.
That's exactly right. And the other approach, which is the more conventional approach, and we refer to as conventional total hip replacement, is where you remove the ball altogether and put in a new ball with a stem that goes down inside the thigh bone. And this ASR metal component can be used for both resurfacing and also conventional total hip replacement.
So it didn't come as a ball and socket set. It came as a socket set, if you like, and to which other balls fitted in.
Yes, that's for the conventional hip. With the resurfacing, it actually came as a set with the femoral resurfacing component.
How many such devices are on the market in Australia?
With respect to resurfacing devices, there's around 10. With respect to conventional hip replacement, if you're talking about metal-on-metal conventional hip, there's probably about 15 at a guess. But if you look at the whole range of conventional total hip replacements, there are many hundreds of devices available.
And how was this Dupuy device performing on your register compared to others of a similar class?
When, in our 2007 annual report, we identified the resurfacing part of this device as having at least twice the risk of revision compared to other resurfacing devices. And we said that that was clinically significant at that time. The following year, we identified both the resurfacing and the use of the ASR in conventional hip, both of those having higher rates of revision. And we've done that every year since. And I think last year, when we're talking about the conventional hip replacement, which has been used quite a lot in Australia, we were saying that after 3 years that was 4 to 5 times the risk of being revised compared to other devices.
But in their press release, they say, you know, according to other national joint replacement registries, presumably including Australia, they were performing in line with other devices of similar kind.
Yes, I noticed that comment in the press release and I couldn't quite understand that, because that's simply not correct, because Dupuy were fully aware of the Australian registry data. So I'm not quite sure why they've said that, because that is just simply not true.
So for 3 or 4 years, you've known there's a problem with this, and the evidence has just got stronger as the years go by. There's two questions, I suppose. How come orthopaedic surgeons continue to use it, given the published data in the Orthopaedic Joint Registry? And secondly, how come it stays on the market? Why hasn't it been removed here? Why have we waited till the company voluntarily removes it when we've known there's a problem for some time?
important point is that in Australia, orthopaedic surgeons didn't continue to use it, actually. Once the Australian Registry identified that there were problems, there were really quite small numbers done after that happened. And in fact, this particular device was withdrawn from Australia last year.
Oh, so the company took it off the market voluntarily?
In Australia, yes, last year. So it's no surprise that with additional data from another source that they've decided that the device itself is actually not working very well and have withdrawn it worldwide, which is what's actually happened in the last week.
What's the bigger story here? I mean, are there other hips on your registry that shouldn't be on the market?
Well, each year what happens is the Australian Registry identifies a number of prostheses which it feels are performing outside of what would be considered an acceptable standard compared to other prostheses. And what we use as that acceptable standard is that the risk of revision is at least twice compared to other devices. And each year we identify a number of those. I think last year it was a little bit over 50 different devices, and this year it'll be, our report comes out in several weeks, it'll be around about 60. And that many of those devices are no longer being used, but a significant number are. And what generally happens is when we do that, the surgeons reduce the use of the device considerably. But also what it does is activates a process where the Therapeutic Goods Administration, which is responsible for the safety and effectiveness of devices, reviews each of those devices and then makes decisions on what should happen with those devices.
So this is hips. There are, what, 9,000 or 10,000 devices of all kinds on the market, from the screws that orthopaedic surgeons might use for your spinal column to the stents that cardiologists put in, staples, there's all sorts of things we put in. No company goes out of its way to produce an unreliable device, but what happens is some are less reliable than others. Do you believe that if there were registries, and we've agonized in Australia despite strong evidence supporting it, that we don't even have a cardiac device registry in Australia, do you believe that if we were to have registries in other devices, we'd find the same things we've found in hips?
Well, it's hips and knees.
Sorry, hips and knees, yes, of course.
But the answer is, I think, yes, that certainly there will be variability in the outcome related to different devices. But I think the registries needed to be targeted to important devices and high-use devices. I don't think it's necessary to monitor the outcome of screws, but I think cardiac devices would certainly be one that would be high on the agenda. The government organised a health technology assessment review last year, and one of the recommendations to come out of that review was that there be consideration to more device registries being established.
And just finally, Stephen Graves, if you now look back on the registry, how long has it been going?
We first started collecting data back in 1999 and became fully national in about mid-2002.
So 8 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's it done for the Australian healthcare system and Australians?
The reduction in revision rates in Australia has been dramatic. We have got a reduction in the number of revisions that we would have anticipated each
year. So this is repeat hip operations?
Yes. That is now around 1,500 less revisions each year. That's 1,500 people not having to have re-operations with their high complication rate, high risk of mortality and so on.
And presumably 1,500 potentially more new people who could have hips who are not blocked out because they're old people with old
hips. Because of the expense. Yes, because you've got money to spend on additional procedures because you're not spending it on having to revise procedures. That's absolutely correct. We anticipate that that rate of improvement will continue, and we have sort of recently estimated that as well as that number per year, we're getting up to the order of 4,000 to 5,000 people that have less revisions than would have been anticipated over the life of the registry, and that is equivalent to also a saving of around $80 million.
And if somebody's got a Dupuy device in, what should they do?
I think that most people who've had joint replacements don't have a Dupuy device or don't have this particular ASR device. There are many excellent Dupuy devices, but they don't have this particular device. And I think that the next time that the patient is seeing their doctor, they should ask specifically whether they have one of these devices. But I wouldn't make a new appointment to see them unless an individual who's had a hip replacement has got pain or discomfort. Then I think there's a reason to go see their doctor, but otherwise they can see them on their next routine visit.
Stephen, thank you very much for joining us on the Health Report.
It's a pleasure.
Professor Stephen Graves is Director of the Australian Orthopaedic Association's National Joint Replacement Registry. And if you or someone you know is having a hip or knee replacement, you can go to that registry and look at which joints work best so you can have a sensible conversation with your orthopaedic surgeon.